Three, two, one, go. Okay, we're doing the top highlights, in my mind, of Parshas Shemos. I wanted to share some of the most relevant and beautiful Torah teachings from our sages to give you some quick Torah thoughts when you're on the go. So let's start with an amazing Baal HaTurim. So amazing, my wife taught it to me that I had to look it up myself, and yes, the Baal HaTurim actually says it. We know that Bat Paro is on the riverbed, and she hears Hanar Boche. So traditionally, Rashi explains, who is that Nar who is crying? The youth is Moshe Rabbeinu, who for some reason cried, not like a baby, but like a youth. The Baal HaTurim has a different shot. Who is the Nar who Bat Paro hears crying? It's Aaron. In fact, the gematria of the Nar Boche is Ze Aaron. It's the little brother. So we all know that Miriam was a heroine watching Vatetatzev Achoto, making sure her little bro was okay. But it turns out Aaron was there right beside her. And as soon as Bat Paro picked the little boy up, the little baby up, he cried out. And Bat Paro, seeing the pain of the little brother who never gave up on Moshe Rabbeinu, she had mercy on the child and gave him a second chance. Pretty amazing. By the way, pshat number two for today, just simple pshat. Can you think of the holy chutzpah that Miriam had to call out to the daughter of Paro, the leader of the genocide, and scream out, hey, I know somebody who can nurse that little boy. What a mama, she put her life on the line. And we know this chut nashim tzidkaniot, the Jewish people were saved. That's pshat. We see that with Yocheved, we see that with Miriam, we see that with Shifra and Pua, and we see that with Tzipora, who saves Moshe Rabbeinu, giving him his child, Eliezer, according to Rashi, a bris. So it's not just a nice little drusha to make the women feel nice. It's mamish pshat, it's clear in the text. It's the holy women who for some reason had the munah to get the Jewish people through all those hard times, but Aaron was there too, according to the Baal HaTurim. Shot number three that I love. Shlomo Carlbach explains, why does the Torah start out telling the Jewish people their names? We already heard the names last week's Parsha. Ve'ele Shmos. So what's the idea? When a person's in a hard situation, so you give him a name. In fact, Hasidic Rebbes would chant a person's name if they were sick. Somehow when you connect to a person's name, you connect to their neshama, to their essence. That's why a lot of times when people are really sick, you give them a new name. The Jewish people are going down to Egypt. It's going to be a hard time. It's going to be a lot of gullus. Hashem is giving them new strength. He's giving them new names, a new power to connect to their neshama, connect to their true selves, to give them the strength to survive the exile. One of my favorite shots ever, V'yimaru et chayehem. During those terrible days, the Egyptians embittered their spirits. The Gra has a tradition, the Milne Gaon teaches, that even the truck, even the cantillation marks have symbolism and meaning. So on top of the Vayimaru et Chayehim, we have a Kadma V'yazla, which means go out. Go and get out in Aramaic. So in the schus of the embittering of the Jewish lives, they were able to leave Egypt earlier. Kadma V'yazla. In other words, originally they were supposed to be there for 400 years, but ultimately they only left after 210 years. What happened to the 190 extra years that they were supposed to be stuck in Egypt? Well, God saw that they were on the 49th level of impurity. As the Zohar teaches, they couldn't stay any longer. And so God has his cheshbonos. He made it harder on the Jewish people's lives, and that enabled them to leave earlier. And amazingly, the gematria of Kadma V'yazla, counted up on your free time, is 190. Taking away 190 years from the 400 years, which equals the 210 years that they were actually stuck in Mitzrayim. Ah, amazing, Vilna Gaon. How he thought that out, unbelievable. One of my favorite Rav Nevinsal shots, it says that the Jewish people were stuck with Chomer Ulvenim, that they had to take those bricks and build Pitom and Ramses. The Gemara says that, you know what Chomer Ulvenim is? Kal v'chaymer. What does it mean? If we want to get rid of our pain and hardship in our life, we should spend our time working hard on learning Torah, doing the Kal V'chomer, and then we'll get out of doing that brickwork. similar remez, shmos is ele, shmos is shnayim mikra ve'echa targin, shin mem vav tuf. This is the time of year to start learning the parsha, and then when we put our hard work into Torah, we won't have to put our hard work into anything else. Okay, let's do two more insights for this week. We'll have to save some stuff for next year. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh writes, why is it that it was so important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that the Jewish people would not leave Rekam, that they would take, they wouldn't borrow, but Kli Yaker says they would take stuff from the Egyptians. Of course, the Egyptians gave it to them out of their own volition because of their chen that they suddenly felt towards the Jews. Why is that so important for God's plan? He mentions it to Moshe Rabbeinu, he mentions it later on. The idea is that this reminds us of the law of the Eved Ivri, who also has to leave not empty-handed, but you have to give him gifts. Why? Explains Rav Jonathan Sacks, because when you're leaving, you don't want to remember the bad times. You don't want to leave with anger, with hatred. And so these gifts are going to help you remember your slavery times with more good memories and hopefully be able to move on past those hard situations. So Hashem wanted the Jewish people to be able to move on past the hatred which enslaves us of the Egyptians, and that's why he let them leave with these good gifts in their hands. Of course, he can't make up for the slavery, but at least he'll help the Jewish people move on from anger and hatred. And let's add one last of Jonathan Sacks. Jonathan Sacks has a little bit of a critique on Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is arguing with God, and he keeps saying, "No, God, I don't want to be the leader. I don't want to be the leader." And at a certain point, he says, "No, they're not going to believe me. The Jewish people are not going to believe me." And the truth is, he has good reason to be doubtful about the Jewish people believing him. He saw with Datan Vaviram, according to Rashi, that they doubted, Moshe Rabbeinu. They had questioned him. So there's a lot of reason to be doubtful that the Jewish people are going to believe this man who God spoke to. But nonetheless, Hashem smites him with the tzaras. And Rashi says the idea is you can't ever speak badly about the Jewish people and their belief. If you want to be a Jewish leader, the essence of a Jewish leader is to always believe in his people. As soon as you stop believing in them, you can't be a leader anymore. And that, in fact, is what happens later in the story, that Moshe, it seems like he loses faith in the Jewish people in the story of the hitting of the rock, and perhaps in the story of the Korach rebellion later in the story. And once that happens, he can no longer be the leader. Of course, I don't know if I was in Moshe Rabbeinu's shoes, if I could have done any better dealing with rebellious Jewish people. But this is a lesson for us in life, that we have to believe in our students, in our children, and of course in ourselves. When we stop believing in ourselves, we lose everything. And of course, when we say believe in us, we mean we have to kind of look beyond the external level and look at each other's souls and look at us on a neshama level. Look at our potential. This, of course, was what Moshe Rabbeinu did most of his life, looking at the neshama of the Jews and beyond the body. This is, of course, the teachings of all of our great sages. Of course, Rav Shlomo Carlbach, every time he looked at Yid, he looked beyond the external. He looked inside their neshama. And this, Rabbi Nachman teaches us how we have to look at ourselves, look at the nekuda toiva. If we look at the good within ourselves, if we look at our neshama level, then we actually draw out good into our lives. Hashem should bless you guys with a beautiful Erev Shabbos, a beautiful Parsha Shmois, and you should have many more insights, much more beautiful than these, because when you delve into the Torah yourself, it's much sweeter than somebody just tells you over the Torahs. But in the meantime, have a great Shabbos. Good Shabbos.